We need to file some grievances to get y'all. Y'all were throwing, I think it was 2003, and y'all, we won the game on a referee call or something like that, and y'all started throwing full-on bottles at us.
I was at that game. Reggie Williams said, hit me, and I think one of my buddies actually did, so...
San Diego high school legend. We got a Pac-10 great, former Oakland Raider, former Jacksonville Jaguar, Khalif Barnes joins the show. What do we get into, Big Ben?
Leaf, as he likes to be called, Leaf Barnes. It's time with UW, the recruitment leading up to that. It's time in Jacksonville with the Raiders. We talk about Seabass and all types of other stuff. Leaf Barnes coming up on WSD Podcast right now. Up, normally, I'm never late for a party, so I apologize.
I still got 6:59 on my phone, dude. You're good.
Okay, good. I thought it was if you were you weren't 10 minutes early, you're late.
You're late. Yes, Lombardi. It's called Lombardi time.
Hey, thanks for joining us, by the way.
No problem, man. No problem at all.
So, Leaf, I personally, my whole family were Huskies. Even though you see the coop behind me, my whole family were Huskies. I would go down to Montlake and sit near the tunnel, hoping guys like you would throw me their gloves after the game so I could use them in high school. I'd go to UW camps hoping that someone would leave their cleats behind so I could come take them. I grew up around the program. For you, you came out of Mount Miguel High School, produced some other NFL talent like Robert Griffith. I'm sure you knew about him coming in. And then
same high school.
Current NFLer Corey Littleton. Tell us about the recruiting process, though, because you're 6'4", 220 in high school. And the number one recruits the last few years have been 6'4", 240, similar to you. So tell us about the recruiting process pre-internet, Rivals, 24/7. You're getting letters. How do you talk to coaches?
It's funny you mentioned that. Actually, I didn't have football in my mind at all. Actually, to tell you the truth, I wanted to play basketball. So it wasn't until this dude named Coach Morris was a guy who got me out there playing football. I was walking down the hallway. He said, hey, man, why don't you go come out and play? And I'm like, nah, I'm cool. You know, I'm going to do this basketball thing. I'll never forget it, man. He's the one. I went out for 2 days and I quit. I was about to quit. I got home and I'm like, man, I'm not doing this, man. I'm not doing this 2 days. It's too hot. And mind you, we're in San Diego, so it really wasn't too hot, but it's hot. As a 14-year-old or, you know, 15-year-old, or, you know. And I'm like, no, this is not going to work. I'm not doing the 2 days. It wasn't my dad. It was my mom, cousin. It wasn't anybody else. It was Coach Morris the next day. I was like, man, I don't think you should quit this thing. You know, I think you have a bright future in doing this. And so I went out the next day and I started doing it again, man. And I lined up in this, it's an old school Oklahoma drill where, you know, you're on your backs, you line up, you know, you're back and then boom, hits the whistle, you turn over and you run into each other. And so I was a freshman, and the senior, this dude named Jason Corsi, he was the hardest hitter like on the team, probably like in the whole, like, South Grossmont County. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm about to line up and I'm about to go against this guy, right? So I lined up and I rocked his bell. And the coaches turned to each other and was like, yeah, you got to stay. So then from that moment on, it's funny that you mentioned letters because, you know, freshman year that happened and, you know, you get pulled up, you know, varsity when you make playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to play in one of those games against Mira Mesa as a freshman, and a lot of people didn't get a chance to do that. But as I started getting older in high school, I started getting more letters. As when I would go to the mail, you know, to pick up my mail, I started getting more letters and more, the rubber band started getting real thick, man, like real thick boards of like D1
shoebox.
Yeah, Nebraska.
You graduate to shoebox.
Yeah, shoebox, exactly. So you got Colorado, Nebraska, Miami, USC, Stanford, and, so I had like, you know, back in the days, I don't know how the rules are now, but, you know, you could line up 5 visits, you know what I mean, and take all those 5 visits. So my first visit was to Nevada, Reno. And I don't know why. I was just a kid, man. I was happy to get out of San Diego. First time on a flight, Alaska Airlines. And, I'm about to go see what's happening down there. So I went down there and it was cool, but it wasn't really my cup of tea. I knew there was something out there different. So the next trip was Seattle. So now I'm flying to Seattle. And I met Rick Neuheisel and it was over.
Yeah. Rick sold you, huh?
He sold me. I had breakfast the next day at his house, and I was signing. And I went back home, and I said, "Mom, Dad, I said, this is where I'm going."
And did you cancel the rest of your trips?
Yeah, I canceled all the rest of the trips. The following trip, I think the third trip was going to be Nebraska. I had a Notre Dame trip, I think. Looking back on it, I should have took the trips. you could take all five of them and then choose afterwards. But
Rick sold you.
But that just lets you know where my heart was at. I was already sold. Like, you know what? The thing about it was Seattle, Washington is a beautiful place, beautiful campus. But a lot of the dudes that I was about to be playing with were from Los Angeles, California, Riverside, California, Florida, Texas. Guys from all over the country were coming up there and playing. So it wasn't like I was playing with a bunch of natives, you know, at Washington. It was like a bunch of guys were coming through together because we all vibed, man, on the same trip. You know, it was like, man, this is a good place. I was in there with Tank Johnson.
Yeah.
A couple other cats too that played, and we had a good time. And so I just kind of felt that that's where I needed to be. You know what I mean? It kind of felt right.
Yeah. Do you mind me asking where did Rick live? When you went to
Rick lived in Lake Washington. He lived six houses down from Bill Gates, man. It was ridiculous. So you can imagine waking up in the morning eating pancakes at his place and he's talking to you.
Yeah.
And they call him Slick Rick for a reason. Smooth little voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, yes, Rick, I want to do that. I want to come here, Rick.
Now, did he recruit you as a DN? Did he tell you that initially that you were going to come in and try maybe move Randy, to tackle?
Randy Hart, he was the defensive line coach, and he came down to watch my basketball games. But I think all of along, they recruited me at the defensive end, but I think all along their plan was to get me to play tackle.
All right.
And I think they do it to a lot of the kids nowadays. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you go around and look at a lot of offensive tackles, a lot of offensive linemen that played in any level, actually, if you look at collegiate level and NFL level, a lot of tackles started out playing basketball first.
Yeah.
And that's why their feet are so good.
George Fant.
Exactly. And they can move and they can mirror guys. And a lot of guys do that. And you find a lot of good tackles used to play basketball first. It just so happened that basketball is just, you know, it's less people and it's harder to make it. You know, it's 0.01 chance for you to get to the NFL playing football. It's even smaller in basketball because we carry 53 guys. They only carry like 13.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's totally different.
Leaf, your first year, you redshirt.
Yeah.
Team goes 11-1 behind Tui. You had 10 future NFLers on the team. Rose Bowl victory, ranked third in the country.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, it's New Heisel's second season. What was the atmosphere like on Montlake? Were you on the Ave all the time celebrating victories?
It was on cloud nine, man. So it was I was still a freshman, so we had to stay in the dorms then. But I was just not coming out of getting out of the dorms. You know, you have to have like a 2.5 GPA. You know, Rick was good about this, man. He was kind of like an Andy Reid type, where he's a player's coach. You know what I mean? Like, he's been there before. He's done it before. He played before. Played at UCLA and all that too. So he played, and he knows how to handle a locker room with all the different. I mean, you imagine 103 kids, right, on scholarship coming from Florida, Tennessee, Texas, California, Washington, Virginia, South Dakota, all these different people to handle all those different, you know, just all those characters, and to be able to cater to all of them and bring them all together. You have to have a special talent to do that. You know what I mean? And not everybody can do that. And he was one of the ones that can do that. That's why it takes a special talent to do that. So, yeah, man, we just knew. And then, you know who we played against that year, too? It was Marcus versus Drew Brees. It was us versus Purdue. And that's how long that guy's been playing. So, yeah, brings back a lot of memories.
So, first season, Leaf, on the field, you see the field coming out. Ups and downs. You start the season, you beat Michigan. You go 4-0. You lose to UCLA. But you beat two top 10 opponents in my Cougs and then Stanford. Yep. And then it all comes down to the long flight to Miami. And that team was good under Larry Coker. Yeah. Really good. I don't think they only gave up 10 points.
Man.
That defense only gave up 10 points prior to that game coming in.
Let me back.
How'd you prepare? What was the plane ride like? Like, whoa.
Let me back you up a little bit. All right, let me put a little background to this. So the year that they were like, you know, had like 24 first-round draft picks or whatever. All right, and they only lost one game in the last 2-year span. And that was to us.
Yeah.
So our Rose Bowl year, they came up to Washington and we beat them.
Yeah.
That's when they had like, you know, they had first rounders that were sitting on the bench, basically. Like Clinton Portis wasn't starting.
Yeah, I was going to say that was Clinton.
You know what I mean? You had Willis McGahee, you had Clinton Portis, you had Frank Gore. Come on, dude. You had Jeremy Chockey. I mean, you had the crazy dude, Winslow.
He's from San Diego, too.
Can you imagine that locker room? You know, Santana Moss.
Yep.
Dude, Reggie Wayne, you had guys, man, that were like first rounders. That I think that they broke the record. I think the only people that broke the record were last year was LSU. 9/11 happened that year, man. We were supposed to play them September, during September 11th. We were scheduled to go down there. 9/11 happened, so they canceled everything. Rightfully so. Everything was done. And so we had to move that game to the back at the end of the season. And, I mean, it was worse for us because they had a chance to get good, even better than they already were, and they got the chance to gel. And they were just rolling, and they had all this momentum. And we lost all our guys to the draft, you know, the year before. And we went out there, man, and they started playing Phil Collins, I Can Feel It in the Air at Night. And then I knew it was going to be over. It's going to be a long night.
65-7.
And then we got drug, yeah. So we come out there, and Cody, he throws a pick six. We moved like the first two downs, and then boom, he threw it to, I don't know if it's Philip Buchanan or maybe Mike Ruff, but they had two amazing corners. And he threw a pick six. We had to come back and down and drive again. And then we're coming down, and we got a nice drive. We have a nice drive going. It's going to be a good game. I'm like, yeah, we're down here competing. We call a timeout. We're on the 5-yard line. We call a timeout. There's Trick Daddy playing in there, you know, people are drinking, and I'm like, this is, we're playing in a club. Like, we belong here. We're playing against number 3 Miami, and we belong here. We're about to score. Well, fellas, let me tell you what happened next. They had a player by the name of Vince Wolfhard. He was a freshman at the time. I was a redshirt freshman. He was a pure freshman. And he was lined up against our senior, Elliot Zajac, and we went dive left 4 times in a row. He stuffed us 4 times in a row. And had Elliot, like, screaming like a maniac on the side, saying, I can't block him. I can't block him. And he turned the whole game. After that, it went 65-7. I'll never forget that, man. I'll never forget that because of, you know, a couple of reasons. Obviously, the country went through a lot of things that we're going through now. Just flying down there. When I heard that Phil Collins, I'm like, it's on.
Yeah.
We're about to get rolled up. So that's how it was, man.
All right. Leave. Yeah. 02 was an odd year. You got Cody Pickett just throwing up huge numbers. Yes. Reggie Williams, who you're probably tied to a little bit, came out of Lakes, put up one of the best receiving years UW's ever seen.
Yeah,
that was, but you lost to Michigan that first game of the year in a tight one out in Michigan.
Yeah, we sure did, man.
Yeah, I don't want to bring that up. Yeah, I looked at the score. Then you lose 4 out of 5 coming in Pac-12 play. What missed? What didn't hit that year from years previous, in your opinion?
To be honest with you, man, when we lost to Michigan, you know, we lost that Michigan game on a timeout or too many men on the field. So
who was it?
I don't know. Rick was nervous, and I forgot who the defensive coordinator. I think it was maybe Tim Hundley. Michigan was down there, and they were all scrambling, and there was some confusion that was happening on the sideline, right? And they had 12 guys on the field. These guys line up, kick a field goal, miss it. We thought we won the game. You know, we fly into the big house, you know? A lot of people don't go into the big house and just beat Michigan, you know what I mean? So we go in there, and we're handling Michigan, too, and it comes down to a field goal, but we have 12 guys on the field. Penalty, moving 5 feet forward, and they kicked the field goal and win. Even Lloyd Carr came into the afterwards, he came into the dressing room and was like almost crying, saying, you guys should have won that game. Honestly, I can call 5 roommates right now and tell you, they'll tell you the same story. Robbins, Greg Carruthers, Tank Johnson, and Marquise. Well, Marquise is no longer here with us, but I'm telling you. He came into our locker room and was like almost crying, saying, you guys should have won that game. And we lost it on 12 men. I feel like Chris Webber. Calling timeouts when you don't have a timeout. You know what I'm saying? That's what I felt like.
I feel like that after that 0-1 season, well, you came in on top, right? Then it was a almost near career. I look at his slow progression down, and then Neuheisel ends up leaving.
Yeah.
Did you participate in that bracket?
No. Man, I was not involved. But, you know, he ended up they reacted too fast, and he ended up actually settling out of court
for like 2.5 mil,
something like that. Yeah. You know, they found wrongful doing on his part. On the SEAA part that was, you know, actually beneficial to him. He walked away with almost 5 million after that decision. Actually, so we should have still had Rick.
Yeah. So Leaf, you're coming into your junior year at that point. You know, you got Gilbertson coming in, new regime. Do you ever think about do you ever think about leaving at that point? I mean, at that point, you're rounding into a good oak tackle.
I never thought about leaving. The one thing that I do remember was trying to convince Cody to stay and not leave early. So me and Reggie were doing that because Reggie was a sophomore at the time. Reggie didn't want Cody to leave because Cody was going to be throwing him all the passes.
So makes sense.
Reggie wanted to have another All-American year. But Cody wanted to go to the draft because at that point he was projected like top 10 pick. So he didn't. We came back, and that's when we had the Michigan and all the other stuff too. But no, I never thought about leaving because I built foundation with those guys, man. I bled and sweat and cried with them. So I was going to leave. I had like a year and a half left, so I was going to stay there and finish what I started.
You still bleed purple?
Always.
Pierre, what's your take on Jimmy Lake and the team coming into this year, the program as a whole?
I haven't had a chance. I mean, I don't know Jimmy Lake personally, but I love from what I heard. Love Jimmy Lake, and all the people who I've talked to love him as well. And they have nothing but high praise for him. And I wish him all the best. And I don't know how this COVID thing is going to work out, but it's always good when a program can get their alumni back and get them supporting on the sideline, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was one thing that I was really jealous about with these other programs like Virginia Tech and Michigan, Florida State, you know, these other guys. Especially when you play in the league with them, they like take off and for a bye weekend, you see them on the sideline at their alma mater, you know what I mean? But Washington really didn't do that. They didn't really take care of a lot of their alumni and have them like reach out and have us, you know, because when you see that happening, it's like a fire that's lit and it's contagious, you know what I mean? You want to be around successful people to let you know that there's a chance that, hey, I can make it. Yeah. And the more you're around that kind of environment, it's just, you know, everybody can just, you know, learn off of that. And it becomes, you know, a good environment. And you want to create that for your alma mater. But I don't think Washington did a good job with that. Hopefully they change that.
Yeah.
And hopefully Coach Lake can change that too. Because I would like to come back and be a part of it. And me and my guys talk about all the time. You know, we haven't talked to each other we're group chat, but we haven't seen each other, all of us, in like since 2005, since we all left.
Leaf, you're welcome to get on the boat with us, Bokated. We'll bring you in style.
Unfortunately, I'm allergic to cougars. There's some good people that I played against, though, and I have a lot of respect for, you know, your university. I do have a lot of respect for you guys.
You know what? I didn't find the picture, but it was going to be me on the goalpost after our 0-2 Apple Cup win when we beat you 31-28. But I'll leave.
Hey, man, you know we need to file some grievances against y'all. Y'all were throwing, I think it was 2000 and maybe 3, and y'all, we won the game on a referee call or something like that, and y'all started throwing full on bottles at us.
I was at that game. Reggie Williams said, "Hit me," and I think one of my buddies actually did. So. Reggie was literally going like this. Hey, try to hit me. And my buddy's like, I got him. So it was also fun games because the 2 years, I mean, in 2002 we went to a Rose Bowl, and then in 2003 we went to the Hovley Bowl only because you guys beat us. Those must have been fun.
Yeah, man, those were, I tell you what, every time we went to Pullman. And same thing with you guys coming to us, man, to Seattle. The Apple Cup was a big deal. And you guys were always good when we played you guys. Oregon State, you know, because that Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
And Ocho Cinco at that point. Oregon was good, you know. So there's a lot of battles in the Northwest, man.
You had that Northwest Cup. Yeah, Northwest Cup, where it was like, you know, each the four teams was actually keeping track of who beat who during those periods because they're all good.
Yeah, just rotating and having some good success. So That's what I said, man, my friend. I do have respect for you guys.
Thank you. I'll take it. I'll leave it at that.